What's good, podcast world? Welcome back to Balls Deep. We are on episode 6. I am your co-host, Zach Wunderlich, joined by co-host Chance Rich. Chance, how are you, brother?
Man, I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day out here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, man. I'm pretty stoked about this one, man. I've been ready for it all week.
It's going to be a good one for sure. It's weird you not being next to me to record it this week. Like,
cool. I know.
Our other co-host, Caleb, is MIA. We're rolling without him. Don't know where he's at. But like Chance said, man, we are excited for this episode. We had Heath Gray last week. We told you guys, when you come at this guy, you got to come straight. We're backing it back up again. We have Jimmy the Brick Flick, UFC fighter. Jimmy, man, we appreciate the how you joining us. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, y'all.
Absolutely, man. We really appreciate it. You know, we talked before this. You know, we got you for about 20 minutes, so we're gonna hop right up into the questions. We'll start with, you know, you won the Contender Series. Kind of walk us through that. You know, how it was getting your UFC contract. You know, and all that stuff, if you don't mind.
Oh man, it was an amazing experience, but to be able to experience something like that during the pandemic is, you know, going to go down with me forever. And fly out there with no friends, just my cornermen, not my wife, not my kids, you know. And we went out there, we stayed in a hotel, we cut weight, we trained, fought with no fans, no music. It was something I've never, ever got to experience before, but something I'm glad I did experience. And it was amazing. And we had a great fight. And Las Vegas, the altitude's a lot higher. So I was worried about that going into the fight. And fought in Albuquerque, New Mexico once. And it was the hardest I've ever had to fight before. And so I was well prepared for that fight. And cardio worked out great. We put it on the guy for 3 rounds, and we got to finish in the 3rd round. And with the Tuesday night contender, you're not quite sure if you're going to get the contract or not. So I was worried, you know, especially with that year they gave out like 17 contracts already, you know. And so I was worried. I didn't get to see Dana White's expression. But when they rewarded me that contract, it was a dream come true.
Yeah, man, for sure.
That's one thing I wanted to kind of hit on right there. Whenever you got that UFC contract and it was like, okay, I'm in the league. I'm on top of the world right now when it comes to fighting and fighting federations, man. How did it feel putting your name on that dotted line, brother?
Oh man, it was a dream come true. It was something that I wasn't for sure I'd ever accomplish, and something that I could have never predicted that I would accomplish with no fans during a pandemic, you know. So that just puts the ice on the cake so much more.
Lost him.
Man.
Yeah, he said our listeners out there, Jimmy's in the car right now, so said that his service might be a little spotty. Hopefully we can get him back on here. Chance, we'll go ahead and hop into one of our topics that we want to talk about, and then once Jimmy comes back, we can try to figure that one out. But we talked about the super teams almost every week, it feels like. And now we got LaMarcus Aldridge joining the Nets.
Oh my God.
It's just like, I'm like, dude, what in the hell are they doing? It's boiling down to the Nets and Lakers. Lakers add Andre Drummond yesterday. It's like, bro, how many guys do y'all need?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're stacked from top to bottom. It doesn't even make sense. I was telling my wife today, just because like it's been on my mind heavy lately, almost every day, that this team is probably going to be better, and it already looks better than the Warriors team from before.
Yeah, and the thing about them is like, you when you watch them play, like they no longer give a shit about the regular season. It's like, we'll lose. Who cares? You know what I mean? We got you back, Jimmy. I think you're muted on us.
Your mic's muted, brother.
There we go. We good?
Yeah, there we go, brother.
We pulled off to the side real quick while we can do it.
You're good, man. You're good. We appreciate it. We kind of rolled into a topic to wait, see if we can get you back. You were telling us about the Contender Series, you know. all that and you won it. A question I got for you is, like, I feel like everybody, nobody dislikes Dana White. Like, is he really as cool as, you know, like, the persona that he puts off? Like, is he just a solid dude or what?
I've spent about 4 seconds with the guy, man. And 2 seconds I was shaking his hand. So, he seems to be a cool guy. I met him at the Ultimate Fighter a long time ago before I made the UFC. And same thing, it was very short. Yeah, I don't get to conversate with the guy or nothing, but he seems cool and he liked my performance and that's all I cared about.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt about that, man. That's big time right there when you got Dana White's approval and Dana White's handing you a contract, bro. Jeez, that's got to be the best feeling in the world right there.
Yes, sir.
So Jimmy, we talked about Heath. You know, Heath was the Division II national champion wrestler. We had him on last week. And in you guys' profession, like, the build-up to fights and cutting weight and stuff like that, like, do you have a routine? Like, if you could just, for our listeners out there, walk us through, like, how you prepare for a fight, you know, the months, the days leading up, just – and then it's fight day, you know, kind of how you do your own thing.
We try to diet very well. I like to eat a lot of chicken, a lot of smoothies. I just hired a nutrition to help me a little bit. I'm 30 years old now, so my body's putting on weight a lot easier after these fights, you know. And fighting at 125 has been pretty easy most of my career. But as I get older, I got to get smarter. I got to eat better. And I train a lot. So, and with the UFC and USADA, we got to be careful with what kind of supplements we take, you know. Sure, so I finally got some stuff cleared. I'm going to try it out, you know. I'm not big on, you know, using supplements and vitamins and stuff. But now I'm at a case where, like I said, I'm 30 years old. I've been in this sport for 10 years. I need help with recovery. I need help with, you know, to push my body to the limits. And I just try to eat as healthy as I can and drink a lot of water.
Yeah, I like for sure.
Water and, you know, stay hydrated. And the last couple cuts have been pretty good for me. And I'm hoping with hiring the nutrition and bringing him in on this fight, it'll be a lot easier for this fight to make the weight cut.
Yeah, absolutely. At 30 years old, your body can't take them bumps and bruises like they did at 20, huh?
No, and I got 2 kids, as you see, when my 8-year-old popped up. You know, my other one's in the back sleeping right now. So, so they make us age, you know, and I still work a job, you know. I'm not giving up my job anytime soon, you know. UFC, don't come with 401k.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to, you know, keep my job as long as I need to. And if the UFC works out, we get a nice, good contract, then we can go from there.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So one thing I want to know in your debut, your flying triangle chokehold, man.
Yeah, I watched the video of it yesterday. I was getting myself pumped up. I'm like, Jimmy's coming on, I was watching this flying triangle.
Yeah, dude, unreal. That was probably the craziest thing I've seen, other than like the spinning back kick that dude did last year with the when that dude had a hold of his foot. But What led you up to that? Did you see it from a mile away, or was it just like, fuck it, I'm going to do this. Let's see how it works out.
Oh, no. I mean, if you actually see, I set up the head kick after he had got me in the ground and pound and we got back to our feet. That's what we worked to get back to our feet. We figured that he might get us to the ground. We weren't sure what the game plan was. And then I got back to the feet and we had actually worked that switch kick to the head a lot. And but throughout my career, I've thrown flying triangles, flying arm bars. Growing up as an amateur, everything went on MySpace, man, and I never put it on Facebook or YouTube. So nobody really got to see a lot of my amateur fights. But that's what I like to do, flying triangles, flying arm bars. I even have an amateur fight where I did the same thing just about with the flying triangle. And every time anybody catches my kick, I just like to jump up there and hit it. And it worked out great. I mean, I would have liked to knock him out with the head kick, but the flying triangle was amazing as well.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's badass, dude. Like I said, I looked it up yesterday, and I was getting myself amped up for this podcast today. I'm like, dude, that was so badass. So, you know, you got a fight coming up soon. I'm just curious because I don't know, like, how much film work goes into your profession of, you know, you obviously know who you're fighting. Like, do you watch hours and hours of every fight this guy had? Or, you know, how do you do it? You watch a couple fights, you see his tendencies to get yourself ready, or do you watch everything that he does?
Most of the time, I just let my coach watch it, man. Okay. I have a striking coach, Leo, over at Forza Combat Sports, and we've been together for almost 2 years now. And ever since I brought him in, we've been killing it. And so I let him do everything. He strategizes. I did watch his last fight live. So I remember watching it live. I got a good idea what he likes to do, what he's good at. But at the end of the day, it's a fight. I like to come forward, and I like to fight. And it doesn't matter where the fight goes. Absolutely. That's why my nickname's The Brick, because my game's solid all over.
Yeah.
And that was
assuming, I'm assuming how heavy your hands are probably helps with that nickname as well. Huh?
Well, just not having no knockouts don't really, you know, help it. They're all submissions, but that's why I got the nickname The Brick, is because my game's solid all over.
I mean, there's definitely worse nicknames to have than The Brick. The Brick's badass.
I like it. I think it sticks out there. And I've only known one other fighter that's used that nickname, and I don't even think he's fighting right now, so I'm not even going to bring his name up. So.
Right on.
There you go. We ain't promoting nobody else around here.
Yeah. That dude, you know what, he's irrelevant right now anyway, bro. So here's one that I wanted to know, but I think a lot of other people I've talked to, they'd like to know as well. What got you into this sport? What, like, drove you into becoming a fighter and just choking motherfuckers out all the time?
Well, growing up, I always thought I was going to play football or something. I had two older brothers, two older sisters. Growing up, we were very poor. But my dad kept me in sports, wrestling my whole life. But when I got into high school, I started being dumb, smoking cigarettes, chasing females, you know, just partying. And then at 17, I dropped out of school, and my dad moved me to Corpus Christi, Texas, and threw me in a gym. And I fell in love with Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Within a couple months, I was winning tournaments, and within a year, my coach was throwing me in the cage to start fighting as an amateur. I went 7-0 as an amateur with 6 fights in the first round by submission, 1 in the second round. I had 2 titles at 2 different weight classes. Wow. And then I took pro in Bellator 20 in 2010, and I just fell in love with jiu-jitsu, man, and it's been there ever since.
Just kind of on a whim. You know, you said your dad just threw you in the gym, then you start 7-0, and you're like, hey, I might be pretty good at this.
Yeah, man, that was the plan, you know. And then even, like, you know, my wife at the time, we went to school together but didn't talk for years, and we started talking on social media. And she's like, well, what do you do for a living? And I was like, well, my dad pays my bills, and I train, and I fight. I'm not trying to be a professional fighter. And I was 3-0 at that time, and it worked. So, yeah, you know. Now we got 2 kids. We got, you know, we got a house. We got land. We've got a lot for ourselves. So, you know, now UFC is just icing on the cake, and
absolutely,
how far it goes.
Absolutely, man. So I'm gonna ask you this. You might think this is a dumb question, but I'm just gonna ask it because I'm curious. So you're contracted into the UFC. Do you still got to buy pay-per-views like we do? Or do you get every pay-per-view fight for free?
The only thing, yes, I got to pay for. The only thing they offer me for free that I haven't even took advantage of, because I paid for it anyway, was UFC Fight Pass. They do give you a free subscription to UFC Fight Pass, which I thought was pretty cool. But to cancel mine and then do all the new passwords and everything through what they were offering, I just was like, I'll give them my $10 a month. You know?
Yeah. I was sitting out. Wait, before this, I was like, man, he's probably gonna think I'm dumb as hell. But I gotta know, do these guys actually have to pay for the pay-per-views like we do?
Hey, dude, I had a guy hit me up on Instagram that I don't even know that said he lives in Jacksonville, Florida, and he wants to go to the fights, but the tickets were overpriced. So he's wanting to know if I get them cheaper because I'm a UFC fighter. And I was like, nope, I don't.
Yeah.
And it was like, and they sold out in minutes. So you're kind of screwed.
Yeah. I mean, the UFC is definitely about making money. Like, you ain't watching anything if you ain't paying no money.
100%.
So yes. we talked about, you know, we said you got a fight coming up, you know, for our listeners out there, you know, when are you fighting? What card is it? Who you're fighting, you know, talk about that a little bit. And that way our listeners out there listening to you today, you know, they can tune in on your next fight.
Yeah, most definitely. We're fighting May 8th, and I fight in the flyweight division. And the flyweight champ is Davison Figueiredo, or however you pronounce his name. It's Brazilian. Yeah, I probably – but Davison.
It don't matter.
He has a little brother named Francisco that's 1-0 in the UFC. Well, I'm fighting his little brother, so we're going to take out the little brother, you know, to make a statement to go after the big brother. And yeah, so it makes a great storyline, you know. It's going to be May 8th, and the card's going to be headlined by Corey Sanhagen and TJ Dillashaw. So
nice
event. We even got Donald Cowboy Cerrone fighting Diego Sanchez. Like, it's a great card, man. So I'm excited to be on it. And if anybody wants to follow me on Instagram at The Brick MMA, on Facebook at Jimmy The Brick Flick. My personal Facebook's out of friend request, so I try to send everybody to my fan page. And then I'm on Twitter at Jimmy Flick, man.
For sure, man. Yeah. And obviously, you know, we wish nothing but good luck to you, man. Obviously, you know, and knock this motherfucker out May 8th. But we'll definitely for sure all be watching. Man, we lost you there for a minute, and then you told us, you know, you pulled over on the side of the road. So, man, I know you got to get to your grandma's house. We appreciate you coming on, man. Again, go get them May 8th. And we can't thank you enough, man, for, you know, we're a small podcast trying to grow right now. Having somebody like yourself come do this with us, man, we just appreciate the hell out of you.
Hey, yeah, most definitely. I appreciate y'all, man. Just trying to get as much support as I can, get my name out there. I appreciate all of it, man. We'll hopefully talk soon after we get this win.
Absolutely, bro.
Yeah, man. We appreciate you got all the support from us, bro. That's no doubt.
Hey, I appreciate y'all, man.
Yes, sir. And for our listeners out there, again, that was Jimmy the Brick Flick. Fighting May 8th, Chance, when we lost him there for a minute, we went into the super teams again. So let's hop back on that since he got back on with us. What I was saying is, you know, like you watch the Nets play and it's like they just don't care.
No.
It's annoying. But anytime, like, they signed LaMarcus Aldridge, and now anytime you have Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge or your fourth and fifth options, it's like, bro, it's unfair. Like, yeah. I don't know how it's happening.
I don't understand it right now either. And I mean, I understand it. It's the generation of the super team. Everybody's trying to put huge teams together, and I feel like a lot of them are just going after LeBron. To be honest with you, I might be a little biased on that because that's my favorite player of all time. But the way the Nets are going about it is kind of ridiculous at this point. But man, if like I was telling you earlier, man, if they don't come out and win it all this year, it's going to be the biggest flop in the history of basketball.
And that's the thing too, like, you got guys out there in the league, like, when Russ was here, Russ was by himself. But Russ, like, to me, Russ never gave a shit about joining a super team, you know what I mean? Like, Russ is out there trying to kill you by himself. And there's dudes like that in the league that are still out there, but it can't work anymore. Like, if you're a superstar and you want a ring, you're going to have to go team up with somebody. With two guys.
Yeah, that's the sad truth right now. And it's because there's going to be about three or four teams out there that are going to be super teams. You're always going to have at least two or three that are just stacked to the max. You know, like, you got the Clippers right now. They're super.
Yep.
L.A., they're super. Looking at Brooklyn right now, they're like double super team right now. And especially when everybody's healthy, Kyrie stops going on all these little family outings. Yeah. KD stops getting hurt and everybody's healthy. It's going to be a scary thing to watch those guys just ball out on people.
Yeah, and people want to talk about, oh, they can't play defense. You got to play defense when you're going to score 180 points a game. Like, we'll give up 150 and we still beat you by 30.
Yeah, when you got James Harden, who's absolutely balling out right now, who's putting up 57 points a game right now, yeah, assisted on or scored.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Houston wishes they had this James Harden there.
Yeah. Yeah, James, but you can't deny the fact that James is out there having a good time and loving life. Like, I love that for him.
Yeah, for sure.
At the same time, it's like,
I mean, he's thriving. Like, there's sports guys. The one guy you just said, you know, I refuse to say his name.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Like, whenever you see somebody thriving, like Harden obviously wasn't happy in Houston. Now, you know, he's smiling, having a good time, enjoying his life, balling out. Like, I mean, you gotta like it for, you know, seeing people being happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you said,
yeah,
that was a big thing. I think you nailed it right on the head. I think it's all, like, it's all going after LeBron. Like, these guys got a super team to go after LeBron. But the thing is, LeBron started it. Like, when he dipped to Miami, he started the super team. So now it's kind of backfiring because everybody else is like, well, we'll join a super team to beat you.
Yeah. I'm not so sure he technically started it. Maybe Miami started it and not just LeBron. Let's put it on those bastards. But yeah.
I'm talking about, he's like, not one, not two, not three. I'm like, yo, chill. How many are you going up to?
Yeah, man. Jesus Christ. That's all right, though. That's okay. I think the Lakers, whenever they're all healthy, though, they're going to be filth because they just got Andre Drummond.
That's what, yeah. And that was, we said it, too, when we lost Jimmy there for a minute. Like, as good as Brooklyn's getting, LA's just adding people, too. It's like they're playing a game right now. Yeah. And anybody's on a contract they don't like, they're just like, hey, buy me out because I'm going to go to Brooklyn or LA.
Hey, buy me out.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just happy they're not going to the Clippers, man, because I absolutely hate the Clippers. And that's that. If anything, it's the Clippers in L.A., I feel like the Clippers have to be the bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
Lakers heroes, Clippers bad guys.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know why my computer is messing up right now, and it says we have 10 minutes remaining on this video. I don't know what that's about. It hasn't done that to us yet, but hey, we're the baseball guys, and we got, should be a national holiday next week, opening day. Yeah. How pumped are you, brother? Like, baseball is back. It's here.
It's about time. It's been a while. I know, seeing the spring training going on, man, and seeing all these awesome plays go down, man, it just gives me goosebumps because I'm ready for season. Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful thing.
And we, you know, we've had Fulmer and Kosho on here, and mm-hmm. and now we get to watch those guys, and we're like, yo, they were on our podcast.
Yeah, we're about to see them shove. Especially, I'm ready to see Fulmer get out there and just start dealing again, man. Yeah. Like, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, coming off TJ, he's I bet he has a big year, dude.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be big. So, I mean, the Phillies, the Nationals, the Cubs, their rosters are all looking filthy.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I wish, and Caleb could give us a Remuto update because he was hurt. I seen he played in the spring training game last night, so he's back. But again, like I said to our listeners out there, Caleb is MIA. I'm going to call him as soon as we finish this, and I'm going to give him a stern talking to.
Yeah, man.
But, man, that's a huge get for us of you. I appreciate you getting Jimmy on. That's a solid dude.
Yeah.
Maybe after his fight May 8th, we can get him back on, be able to talk to him a little bit more, because I know for somebody like him, like, I want to get deeper into his mind. You know what I mean? Like, because
that's where I'm at as well, man. I kind of want to dig into that fighter's mind that he's got, man, and see what he's really got cooking up in there. Because, you know, if you're a fighter and that's what you do to make a living, dude, you got to be a little crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't gonna say it with him on here because I'm scared of him. But he's got to have a little bit of screw loose if you go into an octagon and fight people for a living. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's funny too. Like, you know, he's obviously in tip top shape. Like, especially with a fight coming up in 1 month. but you know, I just turned 29. You're about to be 29 in July, and I felt everything that he was saying. It's like, yeah, my body can't take it like it could when it's 20, dude. Yeah. I drank last night, and I feel like I got hit by a truck today.
I drank two beers, and I felt like it put a damper on my leg day this morning.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, just like, I want to give a shout out to Josh Copeland for, you know, hitting up Jimmy and letting him get on, letting him know about our podcast and asking him if he'd like to join. And shout out to Jimmy for being such an awesome dude and being like, hell yeah, dude, I'd love to shoot the shit with you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
He didn't even really hesitate either. He was like, hell yeah, man, I'm down.
Yep, absolutely. And to our listeners out there, like, we keep telling you, we got big things in store. We're taking off a little bit. We're getting more listens each week. We know some big time guys, got some connections, so we're gonna keep bringing these guys on for you guys to hear them talk. And like I said, man, I make the Facebook post. Any of our guests that are on, if you guys got questions for them, comment on there and we'll shout you out. We'll ask the question, you know, give you your props for asking it. Before we hop off here, let's our last topic. Let's go into we almost have the Elite Eight set. I thought Oral Roberts was gonna do it, dude. I thought they were going to knock Arkansas off too. Wait, if you had asked me 2 months ago who's the only Oklahoma team left in the tournament, and you told me ORU, I'd be like, hey, shut up.
Yeah. Shut your filthy mouth. Yeah. I mean, over OU and OSU.
Yeah, I watched that Gonzaga game today and obviously watched them play against OU in the last round. But, dude, they're unbelievable.
Yeah, they're stupid good, and I don't feel like they're gonna have any kind of competition for the rest. I mean, they're just looking too solid right now.
I just hope we're on a collision course for Gonzaga Baylor. I want to see them two get down and get dirty.
Baylor would be the biggest one. They're the only ones I think that could have, you know, a real legitimate chance. Baylor's filthy, man. Like, yeah. There's no holding back on that.
They're damn good.
Oh yeah. Well, when ORU went down, I was really sad. But it was such a good game, though. They were right there with them. It came down to the last seconds. Gosh dang, I thought they had that one in the bag.
Yeah, and like I was saying, you know, I watched Gonzaga today. They played Creighton. Creighton is not bad at all.
Nope.
And they come out and beat you by 20.
Yeah.
it's just light work for them. And their dudes are just – that team's riddled with NBA guys. Like, it's just unreal.
They can shoot, play post, mid-range, play defense. Their defense is strong as hell.
Yeah,
like, that's another thing. Everybody they have on their team right now, two-way, easy money.
Yeah, you can't score on them, and they will score a ton on you.
Yeah, man.
Well, brother, let's go ahead and – like I said, this thing's telling me we got 4 minutes left, so I'm going to have to figure that out for next week for sure. So, want to be able to sign off, you know, tell our listeners out there that, you know, come back. We tell you guys every week. We hope you like our content. We are open to any and all suggestions you guys have. Most of our listeners out there know us. You see it on Facebook. Message me a chance on Facebook. Text one of us. Any kind of suggestions, we're open to all feedback, good or bad. Some of them might tell you fuck off, but but right. We are open to all suggestions, and we appreciate every single one of you. Chance, brother, again, big time get for the podcast. You killed that today.
Heck yeah, man.
Getting Jimmy on there, he's a great dude, and we'll definitely have to get him back on here soon.
What a great guy. He turned out to be, you know, a pretty solid-ass dude. I think I'm going to work on Copeland again and say, and let's get Gerald Harris on here. Get the Hurricane on here, too, and see what he has to say, man. Yeah,
absolutely. And that dude is yoked.
Yeah. Yacked out of his mind.
He is a big dude.
Yeah.
Well, that will wrap it up for episode 6. I'm your co-host, Zach Wunderlich, as always joined by co-host Chance Rich.
Yeah, buddy.
This has been Balls Deep. Again, we appreciate every single one of you. Share our stuff, comment, interact with us. We want to hear from you guys. We appreciate you.